Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 824 for the week of August 29th, 2026. I'm Chris Privetier bringing you this week's news, and there's a lot of it because Gamescom happened.
Woo! Yay!
My cheering section is Kelly Ryan.
Happy Eugenics, Eugenics console release.
Yay. Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Get addicted all over again. All right.
I will only double dip if they do a physical release.
And only on Switch, and only if it's not a game key card?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We shall see.
We'll see. All right. Josh Carpenter also with us. Hello.
Glad we're talking about Mugenics and not Eugenics.
Yeah,
Let's not go down that route.
That was a slip up on my part.
Oh, I didn't even hear that you did that. Oh.
My allergies are killing me, so I might slip up a lot today, just an FYI.
It's all right.
I am allergic to the outside.
All right, so this is my weekly confessional where I say all I played was Project Gorgon.
Mm-hmm.
And did some programming projects on my own, but like I gotta start playing something else.
That's okay.
I am approaching burnout, so I need to take a break. I just haven't decided what to play. Because nothing is appealing to me at the moment.
Despite all the releases?
Yeah, and I'm sure I'd be fine once I pick something, but I kind of want to pick something that I would finish, and I don't have any of that. Like, oh, Chaos points out in the chat, I'm not a cow in the Project Gorgon game. That is because I'm a werecow. So I'm also a werewolf, and I'm currently in the 3-day-a-month period where I'm forced to be a wolf all the time. So that's why I'm a wolf right now. But I am in my trans pride armor, so check this out. Like, I literally dyed it like that. It's cool. Except for the blood on the white part. I don't like the blood splots, but that's, I can't get rid of those. The game doesn't let you. But
I feel your pain, Chris, because I did play an RPG, but I also played a bunch of Sword of Ups. That's what that was the name I saw in the community for Sword of Ups.
Sword of Ups is a good name.
Yes, isn't it?
Sort of. How do we shorten it? Sortums.
It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like shmups. Smups. Sort. Yeah, no, I can't do that. There's no way to shorten it, but I still like it. I like it better than Pick Shit Up Off the Floor games. But I did play Saga Emerald Beyond for Backtrack homework, and I have no idea if I'm going to finish that scenario or not before Wednesday night. Because I've got a very busy weekend this weekend of visiting family tonight and then attempting to clean the garage tomorrow.
Oh no, garage clean.
Wait,
time.
But this is one of your sort 'em ups, but in real life. Hardcore challenge mode.
It's not nearly as fun in real life.
Chaos says swumps. No. No, that
swumps.
Swump. No, but the M is in front. So swumps. Swumps. Swumump. No, that's not working.
Well, because one, everything is already in boxes. We've got to open up the boxes and figure out what we're going to get.
Is your
rid
Raymond
of.
In boxes, Kelly?
My what?
Oh. Your Raymond.
Raymond. I don't get it.
Animal Crossing.
Oh, no. This is
Kelly,
the storage
shed. You sent us a Raymond in boxes, and it was the best present we've ever gotten, and you don't even remember anymore.
Well, thank you. No, you confused me. This is the storage shed from my mother-in-law that we had to clean out, and then we just put everything in the garage.
Gotcha.
And it has been ball melting hot all summer, and you know, it's kind of hard to, or you're not really motivated to clean when it's that hot.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring some stuff inside the house to open up and basically figure out what we're going to get rid of. Cause there's a lot of like CDs and audio books, and I figured that we would be able to, sell some of those to the used bookstore just to get something for them to chip away at that massive funeral bill. But there's also a very large collection of old McDonald's toys that I'm curious about.
That's interesting. Yeah. Are they in box? Probably not, right?
They're still in the bag.
Oh. Okay, we got something here, Kelly. You might have something.
Yeah, that could be worth something.
You got to take that to Antique Roadshow right now.
I don't know how far back she went, and Vaughn said that him
prepare
and his brother...
Prepare to be disappointed, says Vaughn.
Yeah. And he said that him and his brother would raid that collection all the time, so I doubt I'm going to find any Sonic or Mario toys.
No. But I don't think the ones that are worth high money are those. You need to go earlier.
Yeah.
That the early ones are worth money and the Beanie Babies are worth money.
Oh, well, the Beanie Babies are a whole different thing. Yeah.
I'll never forget in the 90s buying a McDonald's toy Beanie Baby at a garage sale for like a dollar and opening it up in front of the lady and her giving me the death glare because it was like a leopard. Or something, and I'm
like this is for me.
Like, yeah, I don't care about the fact that this is a Beanie Baby. I just wanted a little stuffed leopard. But no, as far as the two sort of ups I played, the first one that came out on Monday is called Shelve the Potions, and this one is actually kind of interesting because you have to solve additional puzzles to figure out how to shelve these potions. And the solutions to the puzzles are like all around the magic shop. Like just for example, you have to go find a handful of chess pieces that are kind of hidden around the magic shop. And once you find all the chess pieces, it'll line them up in the order that you need to sort the potions that have the chess pieces on it. And just about every potion in the game has a puzzle tied to it. Now, the kind of sucky thing is that once you solve the puzzle once, you pretty much have it for the rest of the sort. Because like I worked on the color green first and found the solution to all the puzzles. And then, I was able to sort the rest of the potions without any sort of struggle. The solution is pretty much the same for every copy of the game, and I wish that there was some sort of randomizer that would make it that you could check to make it different every time you play the game so that you have like a different answer. But I like that they tried to kind of make it unique compared to some of the other sort of ups that are just find stuff and put it on shelves. Because some of the puzzles were definitely a brain teasers, and some of them I definitely overthought. Like there was a solitaire puzzle, and I thought that you had to do it in the order of the number of cards in the stack, if that makes any sense. But no, it was just left to right. Yeah. Also, this is the best one because there's a bunch of kitty cats around the shop that give you hints to the puzzles, and you get an achievement for petting all 10 of them.
Oh, I see one of the cats now. Yeah.
Cute little game. Definitely one of the more interesting ones. And then the other one I played that was just kind of fun was Sort Them Ducks. That was nothing but rubber ducks. Yeah.
So how are you sorting them?
There's different colors, and each duck has a shelf with a theme. So there's a pirate shelf with a bunch of pirate ducks. There's an animal shelf with ducks dressed like different animals. And there was superhero ducks that, if this game gets taken off the Steam store, I will know why. Because they are the superheroes. There's a Superman duck and a Green Lantern duck and a Spider-Man duck, but they just call it like Spider Duck and Bat Duck, and
trademark infringement duck.
Yeah, they're very clearly who you think they are, but they're just named legally distinct.
I don't know if that's actually legally distinct or not, but I mean.
I don't know how that... Well, you know how copyright law works. I thought that if something was at least 20% different, it was okay. but I'm not sure. You tell me.
It's more like, would someone be confused into thinking that this is related to the actual trademark thing?
You know, I don't know, because I mean, they're just little action figures dressed like the actual superhero, and it's just like a rubber duck. I mean, hell, I think somebody sells rubber ducks that look just like these things.
Yeah. On the edge.
I mean, I'm sure a good lawyer could probably defend it.
Yeah, but then again, you know, the problem you've got is that the giant corporation probably has more money than you, and so if they take offense, they're going to crush you, more than likely.
Yeah, but I mean, both of these are $5 games. I can't imagine the devs are getting rich off of that IP. I don't know, but I liked that one just because it was cute. And I don't know if that one, there's kind of a rift in the community, in the sort 'em up community right now, about not playing ones that or having sort 'em ups that don't have AI, because the Shelf the Potions on its store page has a very prominent no AI sign on it.
I figured they all would have AI. Like, who would want to generate these assets by hand?
I know, you would think that, but
I mean, but I also appreciate the ones that aren't. I don't know how to feel anymore. I'm supposed to hate AI, but I don't know, because like, it's everywhere. Tired of hating things.
The one that started all this, the book one, had used AI, but just very minimally. But you know how it goes. People, you know, still want to think that any AI is just bad.
I know. I have an article here I shared with you earlier from Kotaku about all the games that were AI slop from the Gamescom opening.
Uh-huh.
That was amusing. Like, well, there's a lot. It is a big deal. There is a lot of it.
The duck one does not have an AI disclosure, so.
Is that good or bad?
It's good. Doesn't any game that uses any sort of AI have to have a disclosure on
Steam? I honestly don't know.
They're supposed to.
Is it? Okay. Is it a rule on Steam? Okay.
They're supposed to, but I mean, you know,
is that like
how are
for
they
AI
enforcing
code
that
as well, or just assets? Like, I don't
think assets.
Are there lines that are being drawn there? All right. Well, we aren't going to start debating AI on the show today,
no,
I don't think.
Because Dallandar told us about a game that he played, or that he was aware of last week, that had like the AI disclosure was several paragraphs long.
A lot. I like when the AI disclosures are very long and don't actually say anything specific about what the AI is. Like, employ the use of artificial intelligence to help make our workers' lives better and reduce the burden for menial tasks, and therefore some elements of the game were developed in assistance with artificial intelligence. And like, they just, it's all language like that, and by the end of it, like, you didn't tell me anything about what is or isn't AI in your game, and I don't know if you're replacing people or if you're just talking about coding things, or like, you didn't say anything. You like, what, we used AI to shift paradigms, says Severin. Yeah. Like,
what does that mean?
Nobody knows. I still don't know what a paradigm is. It's a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift, y'all. Sorry.
One that's coming up that I'm actually looking very much forward to is a dice sorting one. I can't remember what it's called. They released a trailer for it.
Oh, the D20 or Dungeons and Dragons one. I see that that's a thing. Yes.
It's not even Dungeons and Dragons. It's just trying to find it on my wish list. Just sort the dice. Yeah, Dice Hoarder. And that one's got a weird little mystery to it, because in the trailer there's something that says don't go in the basement. So, is it going to be a hidden horror game? Who knows? There was just a bunch of dice and a kitty cat. I was sold. And yeah, like I said, I played Saga Scarlet Grace for backtrack homework. Don't want to get too much into that because I don't want to burn material for our
For
show on
backtrack? Yeah.
Wednesday.
Okay.
On Wednesday, but I was trying to refresh my memory about the battle system. I don't think I'm gonna finish it by Wednesday, but I still wanted to be able to talk about it. So there you go. It was kind of a stressful week at work, so definitely wanted to do nothing but sort things.
Oh my word, I'm looking at the dice sorting game. That is intense.
There's a lot of dice on the floor.
Yeah. That looks like that would be painful to walk around.
Yeah, these games always seem intense when you watch the trailer, but once you upgrade the ability to, pick up stuff faster and find stuff faster,
Oh, there's cats to pet in this one too. Okay. Yeah, all right. Now Kelly's in. All right. Is
What,
there
why are
one?
there creepy messages written on what looked like floppy disks?
Yeah, that's what I'm intrigued by. Like, what kind of, if it's going to be a hidden horror game or not.
All right. Is there a video game with Lego tidying?
There's going to be one. Yeah, it's called Never Sort by Color.
Called Never Sort by Color?
Yeah.
Is it licensed or are we
No.
going generic
Why would
Lego?
you ever?
I am pretty sure it's generic Lego.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah, that
God.
one
Look
doesn't
at
come out.
this.
Oh, my goodness. That's scary looking. I'm getting anxiety watching this.
Yeah, you can have this one, Kelly. Enjoy. Come back and tell us how it
But
went.
once again, they always look intimidating, but then you get abilities that makes the
Kelly.
job easier. It looks like in that one you're gonna get like sieves and stuff to sort Legos, so.
There's like actual sorting machines. Like the first thing that came up on YouTube for Lego sorting was like machines people built. I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, this is a whole thing, huh?
Yeah, that's a thing in real life too.
Looked like a tornado hit this room.
Or Alice the cat.
Oh, I like that. You take a pre-built thing with Legos and you tap on it and it just explodes into pieces. That's good.
That is an official brick separator that you tap it with.
Nice. I love that there's a dedicated brick separation tool.
Yeah, just about every Lego set comes with one. If you're a Lego fan, you probably have a whole bin full of them. And Lego knows this because the bonsai tree had an alternate build where you could make the leaves brick separators. Also, I forgot
Brick
to mention,
separator. Yeah.
last weekend I put together the Donkey Kong arcade cabinet Lego set. Which is kind of a neat, r really neat set because it actually throws the barrels down the little chute.
Gosh.
Yeah,
Does it make the
but
noise is the
no,
question.
it's there's no electronic component to it. It's all mechanical.
It's the important part is the locking noise.
But the other funny bit is that our kitten Sanji stole a Lego out of one of Vaughn's bins and took off like a bat out of hell, and Vaughn had to chase him down to get the Lego away from him.
Good kitty. He was just
Yeah,
like, I'm taking this. Bah.
it was deliberate. He re reached in and was like, okay, this is mine now, I'm gone. And I said, Vaughn, Sanji just stole a Lego. And he's like, what? It looks, and there's a Lego in his mouth, and Vaughn had to chase him down.
What have you got? A Lego? No.
Oh, yeah.
Me, I hear that. I'm like, oh God, don't let him eat it. I can't imagine what the vet bill would be to get that removed
Oh,
from
God.
a.
I think it was big enough that he couldn't swallow it.
Oh, thank
But
God.
I
It's
still
okay. Just
like.
use the official block separator tool. We'll get it out.
Oh, that's the other thing. I'm like, give him a brick separator. He can't swallow that. But yeah, that was so freaking funny. He is the cutest little kitten. I swear. I've never had a cat actually steal a Lego out of the bin before. But,
Just take off. I'm gone.
yep. I had a cat steal barbecue sauce out of the KFC bag once. similar thing, just reached in, found what he wanted, and took off. And we had to chase him down before he bit into that and made
it. Did he have it his way?
Yes, he did.
Right away at Burger King now?
No, this was KFC.
KFC. Oh, I'm sorry. I heard Burger King for some reason. Kelly, KFC, I've heard that popcorn chicken came back. Is it any good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like the popcorn chicken better just because it's less messy.
And you've had the current popcorn chicken, because I also heard it wasn't as good as the old popcorn chicken from 2023. And I'm like, I don't know
this stuff enough to
be able to compare. Because I was not eating KFC popcorn chicken in 2023. Not eating it now. For some reason, we just never get KFC. Andy is kind of a Popeyes snob. Like, well, we're getting chicken. We're going to get Popeyes.
See, we don't get Popeyes as often because half the time the line for Popeyes is around the building.
Oh, we DoorDash it, Kelly, because, yeah, no, we ain't waiting in that drive through. You're better off going in.
They go slow as molasses. So once you've had Raising Cane's, it'll ruin drive-thru chicken.
We have had it. It wasn't that good. I don't know. Maybe it stinks.
And I don't know if you guys have heard of a place called Dave's Hot Chicken.
I've heard of it. In fact, I think we have one near here, but haven't had that either because neither of us is into spicy stuff.
You can get it mild. We had this in Kansas City recently, and I was like, oh my God, this is some of the best chicken I've ever had. And then learned that Wichita was getting one, and we were like, okay, Kane's is going to have a serious competitor.
So we are going to be in Joplin for a wedding later in September. I don't know how close that is to your area, but like, am I going to be able to find those restaurants there so I can try these things properly?
I honestly don't know because I have never been to Joplin, Missouri. That's Joplin, Missouri, right?
Yeah. So, I just know that I'm in, like, the region area for you. So I'm like, Kelly, obviously an expert on every city in this region.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
I mostly only know Wichita, Oklahoma City, and Kansas City.
And not far from the
Kansas
border.
Did I eat the Cane's with the sauce? I probably didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, the Cane's dipping sauce is the key there.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Also, Josh, didn't you watch Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
The newest season has been coming out, and it's taken place in Kansas City.
Well, the first episode is, yeah.
Yeah, and we're both like, did they really film there? Yeah, it looks like they did.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely filmed there.
I really should watch that series, because, like, I have the Apple TV, and I hear, like, that's the one good thing on it.
It is a very good series.
I guess people like the other one, the Severance or whatever, but I don't know.
Severance and Pluribus.
Pluribus? I don't know that
Vince
one.
Vince Gilligan, the guy who did Breaking Bad.
Mm. Oh, yeah. See, we're getting... I really got to be picky. I need, like, just the best of the best that appeals to my brain. And then I get into decision paralysis and watch nothing. So it's great.
Ted Lasso is really good because it's got really positive masculinity in it, which isn't depicted in a lot of TV series, and I appreciate that. But I also have a special place in my heart for Ted Lasso because it takes place in an alternate universe where Wichita State has a football team. Mm. Yep. So I have always wanted to see Severance. I've heard that that is very good, and it was made by the Lost people, I've heard.
Yeah.
So.
Lost people and Ben Stiller.
Okay.
Can't be Ben Stein, and like you can win Ben Stein's money by watching this TV show.
That was 90s.
All right. He dead?
No, but
I think so.
Everyone else died this week. Ugh.
Yeah, I was kind
finally
of upset
went to space, and then
I was upset about Tim Curry, but I also wasn't surprised because I knew that he was pretty sick.
Yeah, and it was
especially
same with Dolly. Like they were, you know, these were not unexpected passings in any.
Dolly was surprising because she, I mean, sort of surprising, not surprising, because she had to cancel her tour last year, but she was so springy about it that it just felt like it came out of
nowhere. I think she cannot be springy.
Yeah.
Kind of her thing.
Yep. Oh, R.I.P. And then Peter Cullen. I did not know that Peter Cullen was Eeyore.
Megatron! No, wait. Eeyore. Optimus Prime?
Optimus Prime.
Excuse me. But also the voice of Eeyore. Yeah, that's the thing we're learning. Like, I thought Jim Cummings did all the Pooh people, but no, it was Optimus Prime did Eeyore.
Yeah. That seemed like very weird casting, but I guess he had a deep voice, and Eeyore needed that deep voice.
Nobody's gonna miss me.
Yes, we will. My husband was nearly in tears.
Don't worry. The profit-loving executives at Disney will recast me with someone else for half the price.
Either that or they'll just do AI.
Peter Cullen? Like, the worst option?
Like
absolutely.
Like, weren't they attempting that with James Earl Jones?
Oh, for Star Wars stuff?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Scary future.
All right. Who's playing video games?
Oh.
I was done.
Oh, okay.
Kelly's done. I played a couple. I'm still playing Jeanne d'Arc. I'm like, gotta be like
differently every week.
I'm liking that game, but man, it is, I had forgotten how challenging it was. It is very much a tactical RPG that expects you to do some grinding.
Is there no turning back time or any of that stuff? Like,
no, none of that stuff. Yeah. This is well before that became a common thing. Yeah. So it is, you got to go and do some grinding, and it gives you, I had forgotten some of this stuff. Like, it gives you extra maps as you go along in the game that you can just go and play. And there was one that popped up where I finished a big story mission. I'm like, okay, yeah, this new map popped up. Let me go do it. And it was not a map that you were supposed to do at that point in the game. It's like in level care of monsters to fight. And I just get wrecked. And of course, if you lose, it's game over. Mm-hmm. So I had forgotten, me being an idiot, I didn't think to save. And it just like, yeah, I got a game over and then had to replay the previous story mission.
Never forget to save on a PSP game.
Yeah.
Not the era of autosaves yet.
When you're used to autosaving and have to go back to one of those older games, it is hard.
It is so easy to forget about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I just kind of gotten sucked into the, oh, you know, this is just a little side mission. Yeah, I'll go and wreck this and get some experience, move on. And was not expecting it to be full of like in-game level monsters that they just like opened up halfway through the game for reasons. I don't know.
Does the map not give you a preview of what you're about to fight?
No, it doesn't. It just has, most of them are just like refighting maps that you've already like done story missions on, and they'll just have some like new enemies to fight.
Okay.
This one was one where it just like unlocked a separate extra map, and I had for long since forgotten that was very much designed for in-game rather than at, you know, the point that it unlocks. I have no clue why it unlocks like halfway through the game.
That's weird. I feel like a lot of strategy games usually have like a map preview or something of like a recommended level.
Mm-hmm. Well, this game is, you know, 20 plus years old now.
True.
So we forget about some of the stuff that's become common that wasn't necessarily as common back then.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's... Games have so many quality of life features that when they're not present anymore, you feel it.
Yeah. But I'm getting to the point. I'm up to the point in the story where Jeanne d'Arc leaves us, gets burnt at the stake, so still got like a third of the game to go. So
Spoiler
spoilers.
alert.
I know.
I thought this was an
Sorry.
alternate history world thing where you'd have. All right.
It is.
Oh.
Things do happen.
Okay. No. Next
Suffice it
week.
to say, you have to play the game to find out. But see, I'm having this problem where I keep starting games and not finishing them. And so I
No.
solved that by starting another game this week.
As you
No,
do.
that's not
As you
solving. That you just made it worse.
I
But
know.
you accepted it and realize it's okay and it doesn't matter that you can play games the way that they work out for you to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. No
I need
guilt.
to, I need to give myself the grace to
Yes.
be okay with, playing stuff that I
Never
don't
finishing
necessarily
things that you
finish.
start and being a complete failure with every part of your life at this stage. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's okay.
No, what did you start?
The new Star Wars game, Zero Company.
What?
Yeah. The Star Wars is made an XCOM game,
Yeah, so that
and
came out. I haven't heard anybody talk about that. Is it good?
yeah.
Oh,
I mean, so
what?
far anyway.
But it's licensed Star Wars and it's like trying to ape another genre. Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure.
You okay? Are you being held hostage by them?
No, I'm not being held hostage.
Show me a newspaper.
Do I need proof of life?
Yeah.
I thought that a lot of the newer Star Wars games that were inspired by other genres like Souls-likes and whatnot had actually been decent.
Many are there?
There was that action game that was on. Oh God, I can't even remember the name of it.
Well, I think that's the one Kelly's just referring to, like,
Yeah, this
yeah.
not Force
Fallen
Unleashed,
Order.
but the
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the Ubisoft one with the girl who's like doing stuff that's actiony. There's the one that's the Dark Souls like with the guy with the little robot sidekick that got a sequel. So, then there's this one. And I don't remember people liking the Ubisoft one. And those are like the three most recent ones, I believe.
But this one is like a bunch of as Severin is reminding us in the chat. This one's a bunch of XCOM
Oh, these
devs,
are
and
XX
it.
debt. XXCOM. Double XCOM. Triple XCOM. No, that's something else.
Don't do
Triple
the triple
XCOM
XCOM.
After Dark. Let's not do that. Mario and Rabbids is an XCOM like. That's true, Hair Frog. Just like Persona Tactica. I didn't play that. Andy did. Did you play that, Kelly?
I haven't. I
You didn't play it? All
haven't
right.
gotten to it.
Allegedly XCOM like. So I guess let's tell us about Star Wars XCOM, Josh.
Okay. So you're playing as a group of, kind of brigands who are, doing little side stuff, and shocker, I'm sure you've never seen this in an XCOM or in a Star Wars thing. You're deep in debt to the Hutts. So you're trying to pay off your huge debt to the Hutts. Never heard that before in a Star
Never.
Wars
No.
series. No,
Yep, no.
never. And it plays very much like an XCOM game. You have a big map, you're picking your missions, you can, you're doing the tactical combat. They've done a number of little things to it that I quite like. Like, as you're always one of the things with any sort of XCOM game, you're always trying to flank someone so that you get a much higher chance
Yeah, so
of
you can get
hitting
the
them.
chance to hit up to 99% and then still miss. Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. I've played
The plus
XCOM.
of
Yep.
the plus of this one is, like, when you're actually moving on the screen, you kind of moving the reticle around, it will in real time show you what your chances are of hitting the enemies as you move the reticle to kind of select. So you can kind of see,
Yeah.
like, okay, like I can't quite you always knew in an XCOM game, okay, if I can truly get to flanking, I'm going to have a really good chance. But like if you couldn't quite get there, you couldn't see the differences of you don't I used to do that in XCOM where you'd like you would let you go back on movements, and so you'd like move someone character, can I get a shot, not really, try it again over and over and over again before you kind of like made the final decision. This one just kind of takes it and does it for you as you're going along, so you can just kind of move the reticle around, decide if you want to do it, where you want to move to, where you can get the best shot from. Very much like XCOM, you've got, you know, a certain number of action points each turn. So you get 3 action points. You can kind of like split that into either movement. You know, the further you move, the more of them you use. And then that also goes into how many attacks or overwatches you get. They've also kind of like tweaked Overwatch to be less OP. So now, you know, like in the rebooted XCOM games, like Overwatch was just, you could just wreck enemies using, you know, kind of like setting up Overwatch traps.
Explain how Overwatch works.
Okay, so for people who haven't played XCOM before, Overwatch is an ability where instead of like doing an offensive attack, you instead take the character and you just kind of put them in a mode where they will attack when an enemy moves. So if an enemy moves in their line of sight, they'll just open fire on them, and usually you get like a big bonus as well in terms of like much more likely to get a critical hit on them. So a lot of times in XCOM, you would just kind of set up your characters kind of like all facing. If you couldn't get to where you could flank an enemy and get in a really good shot, you just kind of set your characters up, set them all on Overwatch, and just try and kind of like provoke the enemies into kind of moving in front of you so you could just wreck them with the Overwatch attacks. Mm-hmm. This one, instead of it just being your, you know, the complete line of sight that the characters has, when you pick an Overwatch, you have to kind of like create a cone of vision that you're, you know, it's much more limited on where you're actually pointing your character. You're not able, if there's like any sort of boxes or anything that might be in your way of your vision, you're not able to kind of go into that area. And the bigger cone you create, the less percentage you have chance of hitting. So you really have to kind of like, you can't just use Overwatch willy-nilly to kind of wreck enemies. You have to kind of decide like, okay, I'm just going to try and make sure that this one particular area where they could get and flank my whole team, like, okay, I'm going to protect that, but otherwise maybe I'm not going to use it quite as much. You have to be a little bit more strategic and thoughtful about how you have to use the Overwatches in the game. Also, as you like do attacks in the game, you also build up, you have another meter that kind of allows your characters to be able to carry out like special attacks. Each one of your characters, they all have, I don't know what they have, like 8 or 10 different classes, and as well as specializations within that class, depending on like what sort of weapons you've equipped them with. Each of the characters have their own special attacks, and as you you carry out successful regular attacks on enemies, you build up this meter, and that then gives you the ability to carry out special attacks. Like one of the characters has the ability to do a rocket launcher. It does a huge amount of damage, but you got to build up the meter all the way up to 10 attacks, or all the way up to 10. So it's like one of those things that, like, you're probably using at the end of a mission, probably. But it, like, it's a very well-balanced game. They have really gone a much more story focused route. Like the, you know, you're used to an XCOM game being very much very light on the story, you know, having just a little bit to kind of string it along, and the individual characters having essentially no story whatsoever. And this one, they're very much setting it up with at least a core group that you're going to be following all the way through. And it, you know, I'm still like very early on, the first few hours. At this point, they're not even allowing, basically it's a fail state if any of the main characters die. I don't know if that's going to change later on in the game or not.
That's the way I would play it, though.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want any of the main story characters to die.
Is it a revive in 3 turns thing, or just if they're dead, you've messed up, start the map over?
It's one of those where if they are like critically injured 3 times across the game, then they're permadeath. So you if they lose all the way down to their health, you know, they're critically injured, and then, you know, if that happens three times across the course of the game, then they're dead.
Because then I want to
You want them to just
restart the
be dead?
map so that I can save those critical deaths for later, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fine. Whatever. Okay. Yeah.
It's really good so far.
Good story. Good. Or just fun
Seems
to
like it.
play.
Yeah.
The
Like you
same.
said, no, we got a Star Wars game with no Jedi in it, at
Oh.
least, you know, in the early on.
That's probably good.
Yeah. You get recruited in quite quickly by the intelligence division. This is all set in the Old Republic during the Clone Wars. So you get recruited in by the intelligence of the Republic to kind of, like, you know, to do to kind of find this weird cult that is kind of like taking over worlds, and so you're fighting against them.
I mean, mild controversial opinion, but sometimes I find the Jedi stuff to be boring.
Yeah. Well, you have the problem in terms of like a video game of them being so powerful that they just kind of like can ruin the dramatic attention. So you have to be thoughtful about how you use them.
Yep. But yet, do you recruit any Mandalorians?
I don't know. Not yet.
That would be kind of cool.
I'm assuming there will be. That would be I would assume that would be something that would come up. Because you get to fill out the rest of, you know, you've got a handful of story characters, and then you kind of fill out the rest of your party with people that you're able to recruit, and then, you know, kind of customize and level up. It has that same sort of XCOM sort of progression where it's very light RPG. You know, you've got different specializations, you get enough experience, and you can kind of like pick the different, almost more like perks, really, rather than, you know, like a really in-depth leveling system. But it's very interesting, very good so far.
I can't wait for it to go on sale.
On the plus side, I mean, they didn't charge $70 for it. I think it's only $50 right now.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Yeah. That seems like a fair
Do I
for
get
like
fly
a strategy
around?
RPG.
Do I get fly around with a bounty hunter jetpack?
I don't know. That would be a cool thing.
Right?
Not at the beginning, but yeah, that
No,
would be awesome.
yeah.
Well, of course, that can't be at the beginning. That would be
No, no,
too
no.
OP.
Yeah. No, we can't do that. But once you recruit Boba Fett or something, you know, let's go. Jango Fett.
That would be awesome. Just like fly across the map and then land behind enemies and kill them. That
I
would
mean,
be so cool.
that's in every tactical game. Like, what are you talking?
Yeah.
Like, that is a thing that you always get a character that can do flight, different movement skills, but it has a drawback usually. Like, they hit the jetpack, it might blow up and do damage to you. Or I don't know.
Or if it's fantasy, they're, you know, they have a flying beast, but they get taken out by the archers.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Shall we start
All
with our
right.
feedback? And did we get the late edition in there? Let's. Did we
We
get
didn't
that?
have any comment feedback. Our question was about the pricing of survivors-like games, and I don't think anybody cared because they didn't respond.
Okay.
So I guess it's a me problem.
Yes, the price is too high.
But
I think you
so.
get to have the definitive opinion if no one else writes in, Yeah.
Kelly, so.
Vampire Survivors actually came out with two updates this week. One of them free and an update to one of the pre-existing DLC packs. That big pre-existing DLC pack, 99 cents.
Which pack
Have
was it
you
that updated?
moon the moon
Oh,
one?
that was like one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Okay. They add more characters to it or something, or?
More characters, I think. I don't remember the exact breakdown, but they just added a ton of new stuff. So from Livy, hey y'all, hope this last week has treated you well. A while ago, I picked up Trails FC on sale for Switch 2, and this week I finally began to play it, since I've heard the cast talk about the Trails series before and have given it high praise. Right off the bat, I picked up on how well the characters are written. Estelle was a big doofus with a heart of gold, and Joshua seems to be her begrudging handler. Their Their dynamic is really great. Combat is incredibly fun on higher difficulties. Really requires you to think and plan each turn. I think this game has its hooks in me, and I'm excited to play through it. Hopefully I'll have finished before the second game comes out in September. Looking forward to the massive cliffhanger I keep hearing about. Lastly, I wanted to know if any of the cast got a chance to watch this GTA 6 reveal. The game looks unlike anything I've ever seen before. It looks like a movie, and I'm excited to dive into that in November. Rockstar is bringing back a ton of the simulation / RPG elements from Red Dead 2 and even more. Quick goose update. My sweet puppy has turned from a jelly bean into a tyrant of teeth. My ankles have barely have any flesh. Blah. My ankles barely have any flesh left, but my spirit persists.
Good luck getting through the puppy phase.
I was going to say, I don't know how to discourage a dog from biting ankles. You might need to YouTube that. But I guess new question of the week, what Gamescom announcement excited you the most?
Yeah.
Shall we get into the Gamescom
announcements? Let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
Tales of Iron 2 Whiskers of Winter gets a free Blood and Brine expansion. This is the side-scrolling action RPG Tales of Iron 2. Blood and Brine update adds new coastal post-game adventures for Arlo.
The more beast to fight in that 2D kind of Souls-like game.
Yeah, I imagine so. I knew that Tales of Iron was a Metroidvania. I didn't know it was a Souls-like Metroidvania.
Thought it was. Am I misremembering? Hard as Nails 2D action RPG.
Yeah, that makes sense. Katara Fables 2 has a closed beta announced. The beta will take place for 2 weeks in September, and applications are now open. This is the sequel to the cat action RPG / farming game. I played the original. It was fine. It felt like it kind of needed a little more time in the oven.
Well, this one has rabbits.
Yeah. In the original, you played as a cat, and this one you play, I think you can swap between a rabbit and a mouse.
Okay.
Ninja Jamaru Yokai Night Parade has been announced. This is a hack and slash action RPG where you stray into an otherworldly dungeon where yokai are partying away. Partying, does that mean they join to have parties, or partying as in they are having a party? Partying. Sounds
could
like
could be either, given from the images.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
It's kind of got pixel art on 3D.
This announcement sort of surprised me. Terranigma is coming to modern consoles.
The heck? What?
Yeah. So Terranigma was originally an action RPG for the Super Nintendo, made by the same people that made Soul Blazer and Illusion of Gaia. And it didn't come out in the US because it was very late in the Super Nintendo cycle. But it came out in Europe and Japan. Has been an emulation darling since then, and now it is coming to consoles from Clear River Games. So now you can play it legitly.
Someone found the rights to this.
From Quintet, I guess. But like, yeah. It's on Steam. Their trailer got pulled down. My quick Reddit search suggests because they may have used a fan-made song in the trailer. And don't have the rights to it.
Huh. Clear River Games, part of THQ Nordic and Embracer.
Here we go. We got a new new trailer backup, I guess. What? THQ Nordic and Embracer. Oh.
Apparently.
They own everything, wild. Huh?
They bought all the stuff and they realized, oh, hey, we own Terranigma now.
No. They own Clear River Games, who got the rights to release Terranigma, right? A little different. Who owns Quintet's intellectual property? There's your question. They must have figured it out.
I am really curious what the pricing is going to be on this. I hope they price it somewhat appropriately, but I'm also not going to be surprised if it's like $20. Is anybody going to pick this up?
I mean, probably not at this point. It's been a hot minute since NES RPGs were the thing, right? So maybe if it drops and everyone's like singing its praises, but otherwise, like, I know it's a thing I could play, but the only thing I remember this game for was like, oh, this is one of the games they censored and wouldn't let us see because religious stuff. Like, I don't, okay.
No, it just didn't come out because the U.S. had moved on to PlayStation. Oh, is that
why? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind then. See, I didn't even know the right story, so.
Well, I mean, okay, that's speculation on my part, but I imagine that my story is more true than what you believed. Not everything wasn't released because of censorship. Some things just weren't released because...
I just feel like this is another game going for... It's like an anime, except it's probably not as good as Chrono Trigger, and I could just watch really good animes or play modern anime games like Trails of the Sky instead.
Well, I would hope
Square Enix. Oh, wow.
What I hope they would have is quality of life features like other re-released RPGs have had.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a wrapper around a ROM, so who knows?
Yeah, save states, maybe the ability to increase the experience.
Yeah.
That would be nice, stuff. But that takes work.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's got a Steam page, so you can sign in and follow it, but there's like, we have no idea when it's coming out.
And like I said, pricing, I think they're going to have to think hard about how they want to price this.
Early 2027, and it should be $5. I don't know what they will charge.
I'd be willing to go as high as 10.
I mean, it's going to be on every console, and Square Enix is involved, so it's going to be like 20, right? But,
If it's above 20, that's too much.
$27.99. Go with the Square Enix mobile port pricing.
but at the same time, part of me would want to pay it because I want to support re-releases like this. So I don't know. Maybe that should be our question of the week. What should Rapid ROMs be charging?
Oof.
Since this isn't the only one that they've done that with.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like you, Kelly. If it's really just a wrapped ROM, $10 is about the max, isn't it? I mean, if they've gone back and they've done a little bit so that you can, you know, get EXP faster and done some save states and a few things like that. Okay, we can pay a little bit more, but
maybe the ability to rewind. I always like that. Since it's an action RPG, I like that as a feature. I don't know. It's always an interesting discussion. Moving on. Crimson Desert is getting an enhanced update that added a bunch of new story scenes and dialogue. So from what I was saying on Reddit, this update kind of changes a lot about the story for particular characters. I find it interesting that they released this game and it technically wasn't complete since they added this stuff. But go ahead.
No, it's just wild, like you said, to change characters' entire story like this long after launch.
Yeah.
It's okay, it's 20% off now.
Oh, cool. I said I was curious about it when it would hit a sale or a price discount, but I also got other stuff going on right now.
I like that they're dubbing it as Crimson Desert Enhanced. Like, how long has this been out?
A while.
6 months?
Months, yeah, okay. To have an enhanced version is weird. Patch 2.0 and they fix things and...
It's like, on the one hand, I appreciate that we can go back and kind of fix things as game developers, but on the other hand, there's something to be said about a game being complete at launch.
Now it's complete at patch. I have no idea if this is worth playing. I thought I remember people liking this, but I don't remember all the details because now people are talking about, oh, but they never finished it. And it's like, I don't remember hearing about that when it came out. I must have just missed it.
Onimusha Way of the Sword demo is getting new content.
Okay.
Does the story say what new content there is?
There's like more bosses to fight in the demo.
Okay. So now if you've downloaded this demo, you have a reason to go back.
Yeah. And it's also now on Switch too.
Oh, cool.
This is one of those PS2 games people used to talk reverently about and I never played.
I never played it either. Isn't it basically Resident Evil with swords?
Thought so.
It's what I've heard. Anyway, what else have we got?
We got some free-to-play games.
Yeah, Rogo Kingdom is getting an international release. A free-to-play multiplayer game.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Boy, apparently this is a series in China. And was originally released on mobile last year.
Looks like a creature collector.
Yeah. It's one of those where, if this wasn't free to play and mobile, you might be interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. We as snobs.
HoYoVerse has announced its newest title, a fantasy co-op action RPG called Noticefall. And they also announced a winter release window for Petit Planet.
Games could not be more different.
Yeah, Petit Planet was the one with the kind of weird cat whale.
Yeah.
Well, it looked cute. Whether or not it's any good, I don't know, because like we said, it's a free-to-play.
And then Noticefall is hyper-realistic dark fantasy.
Yeah.
Which looks quite different than most of what you normally associate with HoYoVerse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like cutesy anime with HoYoVerse, not dark, gritty fantasy.
Yeah, same. That is kind of odd.
Apparently they've got enough money they can just make... they can do all of them now.
This Dark Souls.
With it's all got that.
Multiplayer Dark Souls. Are they going for Elden Ring Night Rain vibes or something? Or
is fantasy co-op? So
co-op, though, yeah. So just Monster Hunter, maybe. Monster Hunter with an Elden Ring art style.
Yeah.
Also free to play, so take all your money.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So, Nine Yin Sutra, what's
Wuxia.
Okay, thank you. I would have completely butchered that. Has been revealed. This is an open world martial arts RPG in development for the PC. Is it free to play or is it a pay to play? Don't know. It's available to wishlist now on Steam, though the release window has not been announced. Kind of sounds like that other game that you were playing, Chris, that I'm blanking on the name of.
Where Winds Meet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is this online? No, it's an action RPG. It's a single player, right? Yeah. So
I believe so.
Yeah. So this is likely not to have NPCs that are all just AI bots.
One would hope. End of Allegoria has been announced. This is a sequel to The Edge of Allegoria, which was an apocalyptic tactical RPG. It is set to release on PC and Switch 2 next year. Has a pixel art style.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it looks interesting to you guys.
Like one of those where you explore around the world and then you kind of like pop into tactical battles. No?
Mm.
A Metamon demo has been released.
What is Metamon?
A medical-themed monster-taming RPG that takes place inside of a human body.
Okay, so Inner Space Pokemon. Got it. Not Inner Space.
Yeah.
What's the movie? Osmosis Jones or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Osmosis Mon.
There are 188 Metamon to collect and an evolution system. This kid is trying to be the Metamaster in a world set inside the human body. And the Metamon are based off of different body systems. Oh my god, how dirty are they gonna go?
Gums wants to evolve.
They're not going to go that dirty.
I can't imagine not, but boy, my brain is going places. I better move on before I get kicked off the show. Is it Wolkin or Wolsen?
I don't know.
I'm gonna go Wolsen. Wolsen 2 has announced a sequel to its 2020 action RPG.
So the developer, the studio is Wolsen Studio, and their game is Wolsen and Wolsen 2. Okay, cool. Just right on the tin. Got it.
Well, at least it's simple.
Yeah.
Set to release in early access next year with an initial playtest currently underway.
And the trailer has an arachnophobia warning. There are lots of spiders.
We've got a fairy tale inspired action adventure called Rise of the Spellbreaker.
Okay.
Using the
Not, not.
magic. Oh, go ahead.
No, not to be confused with the other magical baking game that's coming out in October.
What was that, the witch bakery one?
Yeah. We've got lots of witch baking going on these days.
Well, what can you say? Fresh bread is good.
In this game, you're bringing it back to a world where it's nearly gone out. A world without bread. That's terrible.
Discover the magic of croissant.
Actually sounds pretty good.
We could solve this with butter.
Oh, and the main character has a cat familiar.
Of course.
So there you go. Let's see, what else have we got? 2D frog-based RPG Amphibian
Hair
announced. Was
frog,
this?
paging hair frog.
I was gonna say, was this the one that you were talking about with
No.
Air Frog? Oh, there's a so there's a
This is a
different.
different one, yeah.
Okay. Well, Hair Frog is rich with frog RPGs.
Save the pond. So we're it looks like we're doing turn-based side view battles, but you can see the monsters in the map, whether or not you encounter them and stuff. And you walk around and stuff like you're on a Chrono Trigger. You can attack enemies to get a first strike on them. So yeah, kind of some I don't know, vibes of other games mixed together. And the graphics are very SNES looking, but like a little, probably a little better if you were to actually side by side comparison. Yeah, Amphibian wishlist now Steam, Switch, PS5, and Xbox. That's a frog game. When's it coming out? 2028. That's gonna take a while.
Yeah, I think that was the theme of this year's Gamescom, was be prepared to wait a while for the stuff that you're going to be excited for. It seems like there was a lot of stuff like that. Let's see. Sacrifier has a playtest coming in October. What is this? 2.5D pixel art RPG. And you can sign up for the playtest right now.
Sorry,
Nobody
I'm getting
seems to.
tired of just retro RPGs. That's like I shouldn't be, but it's like that one after another. I can't keep up with these. I can't play them all. There's too much, but it's not too much. I don't even know.
No, I feel your pain. There seems to be a lot of them, and while they, I like retro styled RPGs, but that'll, I don't know, they just kind of run together after a while.
Well, the problem is that's easier to do with a smaller budget and a smaller team, but there are tons of them.
Action roguelite Rogue Fortune has been announced. For
Oh.
PC and consoles, sees players gain a lifetime of treasures from a cursed temple, but only if they can escape. So you could very well call it Escape the Temple or something.
So we got this week's Hades-like.
Yeah. We've also got another tactical roguelite coming out called Wish Seeker. which is a turn-based game, taking a party of four characters through randomly generated dungeons.
Does have co-op play, which is weird for a tactical game. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, now we've got some more quick news bits to talk about. Neverway has been pushed to next year. This was the kind of, cozy farming game, or sorry, the kind of horror farming game.
Yeah. The horror life sim game.
Yeah, it was supposed to release in October, but now it's going to launch sometime in 2027.
Aww.
Sucks, because I was kind of looking forward to it.
But what in fairness, it's so crowded this fall, man.
What if we give you a fantasy witch life RPG instead in September on the Switch?
Little Witch in the Woods?
Yeah. It's already out on PC, so this is just a port. But
I don't know. Could be interesting.
It's got cute art.
Mm-hmm. Also in September, Sunken Realms, a roguelite action dungeon crawler. What that mean? So progress, dungeon crawling, looks like third-person camera, Skyrim but with consequences? No, Skyrim but hard? What are we doing? And you have to start a run over again? Procedurally generated floors using melee attacks, ranged weapons, magic battle monsters, you get gold materials to craft better weapons and upgrade your character. Okay, so interesting. That'll be out in September as well. Din's Champion is out now. Side-scrolling 2D survival action RPG. This is a $20 game.
Got Minecraft elements in it.
Does it? Oh.
Oh, yeah. Build your own town, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay. We've got Yami Kids, which is Yanako RPG's game where they're revealing where it's a dark fantasy monster taming RPG. You like monster tamers. Kelly, are you interested in this one?
Yeah, fun fact, they released the first game, Dokimon Quest 1, for free on Steam this week.
Oh.
I can't remember. I don't know if it's still free or not, though.
Well, I mean, so that's different than this game, though.
Well, yeah, but if you're interested in this game, they gave you the first game for free.
No, they've announced they're working on Dokimon Quest 2, but this is Yami Kids. So,
okay, this isn't the same game.
No, my
bad.
Yeah, that's fine. I do like that they've got some of the menuing style, like that seems inspired by like a Persona. So, but the aesthetic is very Game Boy Advance or Game Boy Color when you're in the overworld, and then a little bit better in like battles. Yeah, they're going for Pokemon, I guess. Ananta coming out in January. That's a free-to-play urban open world RPG for PC, PS5, and mobile. Yeah, well, who needs another free-to-play
open world? Yeah, I got fooled by this trailer because I just watched the trailer first, and I'm like, good God, this company has a ton of money. Wait, where's the combat, though? And then you go and you see free-to-play, and you're like,
I think this
oh,
might
okay.
be one of like the heavy AI ones, too, so... I don't know. Whatever. Okay, you get to run around the city and do something?
Yeah, they show no combat. It's kung fu combat. I had to dig around to find this, yeah.
All right. Then we have Exodus coming out in April. Okay, this is Octopus Mass Effect, right?
Right.
Someone who watched this whole thing. Today's the first I've heard of this game. What is Octopus Mass Effect?
It is done by a bunch of ex-BioWare people, so it has some pedigree. But I mean, like, the game very much looks like a Mass Effect game. Like, you know, you've got the little wheel, you're shooting stuff. Looks like you're dealing with characters, and yeah, there's an octopus you're talking
who's
to
in your party
in a tank. He's in your party,
and he gets a little combat suit, doesn't he? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Don't you want an octopus mech?
Can you romance the octopus?
That's the question. Thank you, Kelly. Yeah. Can you romance the octopus? I think we all know the answer is yes, but like...
Yes.
That's going to be fun. Or weird.
Yeah, what does that scene look like?
Yeah. So this is also published by Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah.
What? I don't know if that makes me feel good.
Don't know.
Is that good or bad, Chris?
I'm leaning towards the bad, but dude, the dude's mech has octopus arms.
Mm-hmm. And it can shoot clouds of ink to kind of like cover you. Because, you know, octopus. Yeah, very weird.
I can't this will be fun if it's good. And I don't know. And I have no idea how good the writing is. Doing a good space opera is always, always, always.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like EA is making Mass Effect anymore, so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take Octopus Mass Effect.
Take Octopus Mass Effect. Got it. Yeah.
Space Octopus.
Hey, I got a new game I can play. Yeah. But not till December.
Yeah.
Path of Exile 2 is coming out in 1.0 for December. Yay.
Is it good now?
I mean, I've been hearing good things the whole time, but like, okay. I wanted to wait because they were still getting core concepts of the game finished and sorted out. And while 1.0 is by no means going to be the end of the development for a PoE game, but like, finally you have something they can call done. And now I'm like, okay, now I can put some time into it. That said, will this be a good season, a bad season? I don't know, but at least I'll be able to get through the full story. So that's something. Think I will. I hope they're not doing a 1.0 that doesn't have the full story. That would suck. They did that with PoE 1, so I guess check. Yeah. That was many years ago, though.
Is 1.0 going to be free to play, or is it still $30?
That's a great question. The game has been available in early access for people who purchase one of the supporter packs, with a full version to be available on the same platform as a free to play title.
Okay. So,
no more having to buy to play the early access. Now you can just download it and go.
It's good to know.
Yeah. So you can join us, Kelly. Let's do this for slow Diablo. Slow Diablo.
Sounds tempting.
Yeah. But what if you want to play Aeon 2? Like, get out your failed MMO. Well, I guess it did okay for a long time, but Korean MMORPG that we played a little bit when it came out and then fell off. It's back. The sequel, Aeon 2, coming out on October 5th. Free to play. If everyone loves free to play MMOs, no problems.
Don't they? Yeah. I mean,
Path of Exile 2 is going to be free to play, but it's not an MMO. I don't know. I'm just assuming free to play is bad, but like, seriously, I'm giving exceptions to other companies just that are doing free to play. So I need to take a stance, don't I? Oh, right. No, I don't trust most free to play releases. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Aeon 2 is set 200 years after the original Aeon. That game came out in 2009. It is 2026. It's been a hot minute. The game said to feature a world 36 times larger than the original, taking place after the destruction of the Tower of Eternity. It sees the Elios and Asmodean factions dealing with the repercussions while dealing with the empowered Balaur faction. PvE, PvP, built around freedom of movement and flight, and players have access to... Okay, there's an announce date video. Watch it. See some footage of people running around on their mounts. And then story trailers and stuff that's not very... Yeah, we got battles, and they're very flashy, but it's NCSoft. I don't trust. It looked cool.
I will say Aeon did have a very neat art style
mm-hmm.
back in the day.
Just, it was grindy in a boring way. Aeon didn't hit with me. Let's see if Aeon 2 is any different. October 5th. Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Remastered. That's right. You thought that Witcher 3 was already in its bestest version ever? No. This is an enhanced version of 2015's Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, coming only 11 years later. It'll be out on September 29th for PC, PS5, Xbox, and Switch 2. If you already own it, you get to upgrade for free. And
that's good.
The game's current expansions will be available to all players for free. Okay. That's also cool. Does that mean we're finally getting close to Witcher 4?
No, but we're getting another expansion.
Oh.
It's coming out next year. Songs of the Past.
Oh, do you have to pay for that?
Yeah, I assume so.
The Songs of the Past expansion is being co-developed with Fool's Theory, while the remastered version is being co-developed with Yggsoft. Okay. Not familiar with either, but yeah, there we go. Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. Go play Witcher 3 again. Revamped mount handling. That's what everyone's been waiting for. Enhanced monster behaviors. What does that mean? I don't even... Go witching. One more hurrah with Geralt before we have a game with a different character. All right. Kelly, why was there a Mugenix song performance?
Because Mugenix is coming to consoles.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, it was originally for PC. Now it is coming to... What is it coming to? Switch, PlayStation, and I imagine Xbox?
Yeah. Yes, even it's, Xbox.
Switch 2 only, so probably is going to be on a key card. Damn it. Well, I say that they just announced a digital release. I said that I was only going to double dip if there was a physical version, but maybe not if it's on a key card. I don't know. We'll see.
This game looks gross to me. Why would I play this?
It is.
Okay.
I mean, it's the Binding of Isaac people. They have a very crass sense of humor, but it was a
also
fun game.
They took my Binding of Isaac and made it bad with the non-Flash version. And it's like, I'm still not over that.
What was bad about the...
It doesn't feel as good to me as the... I don't know. Also, the music is worse. Like, the guy... I'm still not over the... Okay, I've got issues. I can't judge this fairly, so... Music to performance looks pretty cool. They dressed up. They did costumes and makeup, and they have a song, and you can go watch that and get excited for Mugenix stuff on consoles.
That whole soundtrack slapped.
Yeah?
I ended up having to buy it because the songs kept getting stuck in my head.
Oh, all right. That's a good sign. Maybe I should check it out and see. Hey, more creature collecting, but this one's free to play.
We hadn't had one of those in a couple stories.
Yeah.
Coming out in September, it's called Anemo. Not Amiibo. Anemo. Anemo.
Anemo.
Yep. And yeah, we got a trailer and the announcement of just, you know, that it's coming out in September.
Oh, with specific date. Yeah. The 16th and the 23rd. 16th for everything else, 23rd for iOS and Android.
Harvest Moon, Echoes of Teridia. They've got a collector's edition. And there's a wolf plushie. This is what's important when it comes to.
There are only 500 of them, and they cost $119 on PlayStation 5 and $129 on Switch 2. Whew.
So you have to get this to get the plushie? Wow, they did a small run.
If you pre-order on Amazon, you get the wolf plushie.
Oh, okay. Because usually the plushies were pre-order bonuses. That's been established. But in this one, inside, besides getting the guaranteed wolf plushie because it's in the box, you also get a flower pot and a seed packet. So you can grow some flowers inside the Lupo flower pot.
Yeah, because I had already pre-ordered this on Amazon so that I could get the wolf plushie, and then saw the limited release of the thing and was like, okay, well, I'm glad I can just get the wolf plushie without getting the full collector's edition. So there you go.
Other things in that collector's edition, a physical copy of the game, a journal that you can write in, I suppose. Yeah. What else would you do with the journal? And a calendar poster and a sticker sheet. Yeah, you're here for the plushie and the flower pot, but, you know, that's cool. Could also use the flower pot as an ashtray if you still smoke. That's probably a bad idea, though. Don't smoke.
Isn't it too expensive to smoke these days?
Yeah, it probably is. All right. Heroes of Might and Magic 3 Remake. I never smoked. I don't really know. My parents did. Don't do it. That was a joke. It was a bad joke. Heroes of Might and Magic 3 is getting a remake. This is one of the good ones, right?
I imagine so.
Like, they show the old one. Or is it still going to look like this? Or are they redoing it? Okay, this is the original Might and Magic 3. This was DOS's DOS, man. And this is, they're giving this footage the upscale treatment, I can tell, to make it look as good as it can. And, we had, here's Might and Magic 3. Now here's a remake. Woo! It's all 3D now. Yay! I hope. I don't know. Includes the two expansions. It's using Ubisoft's Snowdrop engine. They're preserving all the elements that made it timeless, they say, they allege. You got your tactical combat, you run around the map and get more powerful, and then find... I haven't played this one directly, but the thing that happens to me in all the Heroes of Might and Magic games is I run around the map, collect everything I can, and then go lose all my enemies, all my units on the first enemy I can find, because they've also been collecting all they can, and they have twice as many troops as I do because I played the game wrong and I'm supposed to start over, and that's when I quit.
Heroes of Might and Magic. You can do it at that in 3D.
Woo! I don't know. This is 3. Maybe it's better and easier to figure out how to strategize and stay ahead of the curve. I don't know. I need a Might and Magic coach. And then usually when people who do know Might and Magic start telling me how to do Might and Magic, I realize, you know what? I don't want to play Might and Magic. I don't want to play it that way. Oh, let's see. Chaos says the AI cheats in many of these games, gets extra units and resources. Just want to run around, be rewarded for doing all this collection, and then go destroy my enemies because I turtled up. But no, the game says no, you get to just die and start over, and you get no extra story. You have to do this again. Enjoy. Anyway, there's a big long gameplay reveal trailer if you want to watch a lot of the things they've enhanced and what it looks like when you're doing actual battles. So if you're a HOM 3 fan, get excited, check that out. It is going to, let's see, when is it coming out? 2027, PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox, and alongside the remake announcement, you can play that 2000 complete edition on Steam for $10. So that's going to be the original version, right? So, the expansions are all woven together into one continuous story experience, a new prologue campaign, new cinematics, and you can adventure solo or with up to 7 other players. So I don't know how that's going to work. Can you all do the story maps together on the same side, or I don't even know. This is old PC gaming time, so you gotta need some people who played it back in the day to fill me in. Anyway, hopefully someone will stream it. I'll just watch it on our channel. Actually, do we cover this? We must. We're covering the story. Yeah. So, all right, cool. Good enough. What is going on?
What is going on? What?
The Castlevania guy made a video for Bloodstained called to say that it's being delayed. Bloodstained, the Scarlet Engagement, being released next year instead of this year. 505 Games and Art Play announced the delay. So, no Bloodstained 2 this year.
Maybe he doesn't want to compete with its big brother.
Did they have the delay was announced by the producer Koji Igarashi. The game is in development for PC, Xbox, and PS5. What is? Why did they delay? They delayed. That's all we know. It's a delay.
So. That's just my guess that they don't want to compete with Castlevania.
It sounds like they're doing a. We've made the decision. We've included several recent screenshots in the blog post. He's just saying that they're delaying it because they are. Okay, cool.
I mean, does that seem like a logical reason to you?
What you're suspecting? Sure. Yeah. But it may not actually be related. They didn't say why, is my point. So. Shadow of the Road is getting a November date, and if you're wondering, like me, what is Shadow of the Road? This is from Owlcat Games and another Angle Games. It's a tactical RPG. So Owlcat is publishing? I'm very confused. Or is another Angle who's making this? Let's go to the Steam page. Developer is another Angle Game. So Owlcat, which I always think of as the Pathfinder RPG people, but now they're doing Warhammer stuff. Anyway, they're the publisher. And so this game's from another angle. They have a demo up you could try now. And we've got tactics. And set in feudal Japan. So is this... I want to say Onimusha Tactics, but I think that's actually a game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So never mind. That's why that's in my head. It's actually a thing. I'm not clever. All right. Is this Tactics or is it Overwatch, Josh?
Tactics.
Are we sure? Look at this screenshot. I'm going to put that on the screen. Look at that screenshot. I'm getting me some Overwatchy vibes there.
Mm.
3 movement points. Going to cover. We've got cover icons on the cover. You've got arrows. I bet you there's an Overwatch. That's how you know. Once they add it and they don't even change the name, they just call it Overwatch, then you know.
You're playing an XCOM.
Yeah. Anyway, you play a demo now and check it out.
That gets me interested. Feudal Japan XCOM? Yeah.
Have a any description? Experience classic turn-based combat with a samurai tactics flair. Each team member brings their own distinctive set of skills and abilities to the battlefield. Even their personal goals and relationships influence every encounter. If you can master these social and strategy dynamics, then you and your team will no doubt dominate the battlefield. All right, so if I read the quest text, I win? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Hmm.
Neat. What else we got? Aruda console. Excuse me. Aruda has a console release. It's a bakery management themed action RPG.
Yeah.
That's all I know. It's bakery. Yeah, it's more baking. Didn't we already have one of these earlier? Yeah, we had the witch baking game. All right, folks, we are in a time of our lives where every game has to be cozy. So what's cozier than baking?
Yeah.
Baking and shelving books. Those are your... This one even has some Guitar Hero in it, it looks like. So, I don't know.
What's cozier than baking? Napping.
Napping? When it looks like your character turns into a fox and then goes to sleep on the bed. So, I don't even know what's happening. Wait, does this have Metroidvania in it, too? I thought it was a baking game. Oh, she's fighting with a rolling pin, though. So, all right.
They got, like, a bunch of different mini-games in it as well.
This is another one where the memory of bread is almost lost to time. How are there two games like that?
Because have you ever tried to make bread? It's hard.
No. Okay. All right. When is this coming out?
December 10th. Okay. It'll get a physical release in Japan, but not here. So, forward to this one. This is the 2D stylized one. And then I got the 3D one that we talked about earlier. Deep Dish Dungeon is coming, and you better not be making pizza. Deep Dish Dungeon sees up to 3 players adventure through a dungeon filled with puzzles and dangers. Players gather resources with which they can craft tools and cook meals to bolster their strength at their camping site. Okay, this is from Raw Fury publisher and developer Behold Studios. I don't know what else they've done, but it's coming out on PC and Mac, Xbox and Xbox for PC on October 13th. It'll be on Game Pass. Yeah. It's got a very pixely, like, what PlayStation 1 looks like in your memory, because I think it actually has higher polygons than PlayStation 1.
Oh, okay. Behold Studios are the people who did the Knights of Pen and Paper.
Oh, okay. So now you go in dungeon, get ingredients, come back out and cook some mushroom soup, and then go back in and be stronger, I guess. So neat. We have Cassette Beast 2002.
Woohoo!
Is that a sequel?
Yep.
Okay. The 2002 is the sequel to the 2023 title Cassette Beasts. All right. I'll just pretend I understand. Okay. Cassette Beast 2002 is set in Nodnol. An old 2000s London. They just rearranged the London letters, didn't they?
Backwards.
Where man and beast collide, with players able to import their character from the first game. So, yeah, okay. You can get, you record monsters to tape and then combine them together, because of course you do. March of next year. Are you in for this, Kelly?
Yes, because that beast was one of the best moth creature collectors that I had played that year.
There's so many that you have to specify which year's best it is.
whenever Cassette Beast ones came out, I can't.
2023.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Hey, here's something we haven't talked about in a while. How about a VR RPG?
Oh, I'm so sorry for them. They must have started developing on this when it was still hot. And now even the PSVR is basically dead.
Even Apple's cut a bunch of their VR stuff. They're like, people are done on this. Ruins Magus developer Character Bank announced its latest title. Knights of Fiona is coming out next week, 5 p.m. on September 3rd. It'll be available for MetaQuest 3 and 3S. So it needs the more powerful hardware, I guess. The game will have chapter 1 through 5 of its story available at launch. The sixth chapter is coming out later this year. It's free to start, and you can unlock the rest of the game for $19. And, okay. It's available with English and Japanese voice and text support, with Fiona voiced by Mina Mitsuda in Japanese and Florence St. Ledger in English. And Nob Ogasawara is the one who localized it into English. And it looks pretty, but like, that's because I don't have it strapped to my head to give me all the dizziness. So I don't know how this will play. But anyone with a Quest 3, let us know. Do we need to go buy a Quest 3 for this one RPG?
I don't know. I only have a Quest 1.
I just play it on my PC. On the Meta Horizon store. And for PC via Steam VR. Steam VR, that lets you just play it on your PC, right? Oh, no, this game requires a headset to play. All right, fine. Be that way. All right.
Steam's still releasing their VR headset sometime, so.
Sure. some new early access games. Laser Beam and Devolver Digital announced a September early access date for Shroom and Gloom. It's a first-person roguelike deck builder where you fight funguses. Tactical Adventures revealed their first major early access updates, coming to Celesta 2. Hey, did you remember that that's out in early access? It's including online multiplayer and the Warlock class. Wake me up when the game's done, folks. And Art of France and La Poule Noire have announced Matelotes, the whimsical medieval roguelite RPGs planned for early access release in 2027. Who's ready for French early access RPGs?
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm actually bringing up the trailer for that one. What's going on?
It does look kind of cute.
Hated stuff. Manage a not so competent crew. Oh boy. So it's just, you got to manage a boat crew. And okay, you sail around. This looks neat. Check it out. Melotots. Mm-hmm. Just find MATELOTES. Search for that and check it out. And then get ready to wait for it to actually be done. I have to check something. That's the two thing made me like remember, I don't know if I backed that or whatever. Is that even a thing to do? Did not, or if I did, I don't have access to it. Okay, fine. Must have decided just to skip that, let it come out. All right, let me tell you what's coming out this week, folks. We've got Crimson Moon, an action adventure game for PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox on September 1st. Severin says there wasn't a Kickstarter for the second Celesta. Okay, thank you. That makes sense then. September 2nd brings us Emery Hearts for PlayStation and OS 10. So Mac, PlayStation and Mac, ooh, or PlayStation, PC and Mac, excuse me. Emery Hearts, PC, Mac, action RPG. September 2nd for Moonlighter 2, The Endless Vault. So that's the full release. I think that's already in early access. So like finally coming out of early access. PC, Switch 2, PlayStation 5, Xbox. So if you've been waiting for Moonlighter 2 to finally drop, be excited. This is the week. Blood of the Dawnwalker. I already forgot what that was. PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. There's so many games. Action RPG. That's come out September 3rd. That is, Vampires? Is this Vampires? Souls-like Vampires or what? I don't know what this is.
I don't remember.
The action RPG. So swing your sword around. This trailer doesn't show a lot of real combat, so all I know is you're dealing with vampires, and you can turn into a ghost wolf and run around, so I don't know if that means it's like werewolves versus, or you're also a vampire and a werewolf? I can't keep up, but it's very flashy action stuff happening. You can turn into a crocodile? What is going on in this game? Blood of Dawnwalker. Hopefully we'll get a review next week. Someone can explain it. Extetra, coming out from Furyu and Studio Sizensen. It's for Switch and PlayStation 5.
The kissing game.
Oh, thank you. They have Aegis Force, the Scorian War, which is A story-driven tactical RPG dropping on early access. Is it early access this week? I think coming soon to early access, August 31st. Yeah, so 2 days. Early access coming soon to early access. It says release date, but I think it's release date for early access. Anyway, so it's indie budget HD2D. So check it out. It's kind of neat how it looks. Hopefully it'll come together good. Wolong Fallen Dynasty Complete Edition for Switch 2. It's a port just for Switch 2. Action RPG Hack and Slash September 3rd. And then Area, A-E-R-E-A. It's a palindrome on September 3rd. That is not Area Targaryen. Area on Steam, which is a game that came out in 2017. Why is it on my list for this week? What is happening with Aria?
Beginning no, but we'll have Aria related the editorial later. Or the Targaryen. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Okay. It's getting a console port. So it's coming to PlayStation 5, Series X, and Switch on September 3rd. So it was already on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Maybe the generational update. It's going to make this game go from mixed reviews on Steam to not. Oh my gosh, there's a couple I didn't find. Angeline Era also coming out this week. That's a non-linear 3D action adventure game with retro PlayStation style graphics. It's already on PC. So when is that coming out this week? What is it? I don't even know. All right, so it's coming to something else. Bumped Combat, you say? Really? Then Onimusha Way of the Sword. So there is an Onimusha game out.
Yeah.
How many? This is the Dark Souls Onimusha? No, I don't know. Onimusha, September 3rd. I'm done. I don't know anymore what to do. Did we even cover the good stuff from GamesCon?
I guess, right?
Yeah. Did anything interesting happen? Were there controversies? I didn't watch the thing. I didn't want to watch another Keeley thing, so I didn't. But I've watched
the thing. You were excited about the Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah, there was another Final Fantasy VII trailer, but I don't think it really revealed anything new.
It's coming next year.
Yeah.
That's did we not already it. Know that?
I was hoping for a release date, but no.
They have people come out to announce that they're going to play you a trailer. And then they say that. They let you know. Said things about the game, but I don't have the audio on, so I don't know what it is. And then we have, look, it's Final Fantasy VII characters fighting Final Fantasy VII bosses and stuff. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I don't know if the weapons in this newest game are going to still be super bosses or not. They're showing off the weapons, but they might be part of the story now, right? Yeah, but they're really hyping up the weapons.
I think making them official combat challenges is cool.
I think so too. That way they're more accessible.
I don't find there to be anything particularly appealing about the boss being optional in and of itself. In the day, like the idea that you might discover the secret boss and stuff is cool, but let's be real how people play. They talk to each other. That's not, you don't have those secrets.
I mean, the reward for beating one of them was a golden chocobo, which you probably would have already needed to beat them. Mm. So the reward was kind of irrelevant. Also, I can't wait to take them guys down in the remastered version with using the cheat boosters, just because that's going to be funny.
Oh, are you playing through that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd started it a couple of weeks ago. I put it on pause because I had backtrack homework.
Mm. Lean, Final Fantasy VII, it's still a thing. When do we get like a 3-pack of them all? That's what I want to know. Sorry. Go ahead, Kelly.
I was trying to link us into the editorials, but good question. I don't know. It'll probably be
a year, 3 years. What do you think?
Well, it'll probably be one of Sony's last physical releases.
Will they do like 14 different Oh, right. How's that going to work?
I mean,
if they're
if
not
going
to do discs anymore, you don't need a three-pack.
I mean, if it comes out next year, then we'll be fine, and I'm definitely buying it physical.
It's just Square Enix likes to re-release the games a lot, right? And so they'll call it, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3.2, Kingdom Hearts 3.3, Kingdom Hearts 3.4, but they're all collections of the previous games with like an additional like behind the scenes footage of one of the directors yelling at a voice actor or whatever they're putting in these things now. Like whatever, we found a way to repackage the games again. Now this is the triple remastered version. We put everything into 60 frames per second mode, even on your console that can't run it. And now you have, but the old version's in there too. So, you know, and it has the patch so you can actually play it unlike the version we released on the release day. So get this version now with all three games plus the two special packages of vinyl standees or what? No, acrylic standees. That's what we do, right?
The Squeenix, or I'm sorry, Final Fantasy VII is like their big game, so it's probably going to be a $400 edition with a Sephiroth statue.
That doesn't come with the game.
Yeah. What I've been worried about is if they'll ever release an edition with like a $400 Red 13 statue, because then
I
will be conflicted. Well, no, they're not, because Sephiroth and Cloud are the popular characters.
That's for their sequel genre next year, where they make a free-to-play portable game where you it's Harvest Moon, but you're taking care of Red 13's family.
Yeah, I'd play that.
I know you would. A lot of people would. It's like one of those things that I just thought of, and I'm like, did they not? Why haven't they done that? Like, what are you waiting for? Like,
well, isn't their most current free-to-play game that weird high school AU Dissidia game now? Because they're shutting down EverCrisis.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Dissidia alternate universes is a choice.
Yeah, because the gang is in high school. Don't know. Do you want to get to editorials?
I do. We have a review of Zero Company.
Yeah. Imani Jones reviewed Zero Company on PS5. They gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow.
Saying it has excellent tactical combat, a deep squad customization, memorable characters and storylines, and a strong replay value. But their performance, technical issues, and locations could be more explorable. You agree with that, Josh?
Yeah. I can't speak to the performance issues because I'm playing it on PC, but like otherwise, yeah.
Cool. And then we've got an Elden Ring Tarnished edition Switch 2 impression. Did you know that? Well, did you guys know that you could upgrade to the Tarnished edition for $5? I think on consoles and PC.
No. I did not.
I don't know what the Tarnished edition adds.
Two new starting classes, the Heavy Knight and Aedas Knight, along with four new armor sets and three customization skins for Torrent, the mount. Yeah, that's right here in the impression. So,
okay, cool. Thank you for finding that. So you can read about the impression on our site. It's also from Imani Jones. We got a Veywolf preview from Alex Fuller. Said to have all of the requisite parts for a very exciting action roguelike.
Like Hades?
Yeah, it looks like it's. Yeah, it actually does look like Hades, but with a wolf.
Well, more than one character, it looks like. Yeah, we got a vampire dude, we got a wolf dude, we've got an orc dude or something.
So Darkstalkers.
Sure. Same character. Okay. Same character can be different forms.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Guess you can pick a build or something, or maybe it's based on the weapon you run with. They are a Veywolf. Okay, a vampire werewolf. Got it. Understood.
Yeah.
I thought vampires and werewolves hated each other.
Well, one. What if they're stuck in a room together and they can't leave? They got to work it out, Kelly.
They'll probably just kill each other.
Didn't we see that other one? There was that game earlier where the dude was a werewolf slash crocodile slash vampire slash whatever. Like, people are just... It's just practical to have all the forms. You need the options. Oh, here's some video footage, so...
But if you're a vampire werewolf, does that mean you can't have all the weaknesses of both, so you can't go out in the sun?
Or the moon.
And you can't cross running water or have garlic.
Wait, running water?
Yeah, that's a vampire weakness.
That's a vampire thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like it. Can't they just use a bridge?
I don't know.
I have to turn the faucet off first. All right. What if... Nope, I lost it. Yep. Okay. Be a werewolf and use all your powers and make a build and get through the run. And then early 2027.
We've got a Sea of Remnants preview from Jordan McClain. What is this about? It's another roguelite with turn-based combat and open world exploration, from what it seems.
It's a strategic turn-based combat, but also has roguelike, and the preview deemed it roguelike.
Because it's luck-based?
Yeah. That sounds terrible, but okay. And it's free to play. So does that mean I have to be lucky to get a good character, too?
Probably.
Am I going to lose the run and I have to buy the character again because they're gone now? Because it's free to play and they want all my monies? I don't trust anything. When it's free to play, I trust nothing. All right. What's a Nanta, Kelly?
A
free to play open world RPG. We already talked about it some.
When we saw the video of earlier.
Yeah, this is the one where you run around the city and we didn't see any combat.
Yeah.
Hopefully our impression has some better info. Let's see.
Yeah, it's got like kung fu combat.
Okay. He knows kung fu. Free to play open world RPG. He knows kung fu and skateboards, man. The two most important skills. Werewinds Meet's getting an update. That's the Wuxia one that I was playing. Also free to play. Haven't dipped into it for months. Maybe I should jump back in, try it out some more. That was the one where you had the AI-driven NPCs that you could just talk to until they believed you satisfied their requests. So that was good. I like to tell them that
you
they
could
made
just tell
me...
them I did it.
Yeah, and
you
also
did it enough, and they would just be like, okay.
I like telling them they got me pregnant and they owed me life child support. So that was useful.
Wasn't that how you exploited money?
Yeah, not really. They don't give you a bunch of cash, but you could leverage it a lot of times. That same story just to get their quest complete, because then they feel like, oh yeah, I owe you blah 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 blah. You're good. Like, okay, fine. What's the new one? Where is to add more content? We got invited to a virtual preview event, and they showed off the upgrade to the combat system, new gameplay additions, plan for the game's future. There's a new zone, some new Samu areas, and we talk about what they've gotten there. Oh, and they've got a Drunken Master type fighting, so that'll be good. Bamboo Cut Draft. So that'll be one of the things coming. So like a lot of these things are going to be drip fed into the game, but that one's coming on September 3rd. So you can do Drunken Style this week. That's another game that has a lot of just random stuff you could just go do and explore and complete and just be busy doing whatever and finding X of 20 things in an area. So.
And then a Game of Thrones War for Westeros impression from Imani Jones. There's clear potential in this game, particularly once the full multiplayer offering becomes available. Yeah, this is a strategy game it's set in the Game of Thrones universe.
I don't trust when they're licensed. Like,
I don't either.
Yeah.
Like, then that license is selling it instead of the gameplay. But okay. But also, this isn't my genre, really. So it's a real-time strategy game. We cover real-time. All right, fine. We're covering real-time strategy games. Why not?
Maybe there's an RPG element to it.
I mean, it's Game of Thrones. That's almost good enough on its own to just be covered. Each match begins with a base, a builder, and a scout. So, okay, yeah, so it's StarCraft. Gotcha.
I just know that all the free-to-play mobile Game of Thrones strategy games sucked.
Is this free-to-play? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so either.
Doesn't even say, but I doubt it. Games that look like this are traditional RTSs. I know there's, yeah, the mobile RTS genre is a whole different thing. Cool.
But that's all we've got.
That is all we got. I'm out of things for you.
So many stories. And yet so much of it free to play.
So yeah, now
we got through it.
Now I have to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
In light of everything that's coming out this week, do you know what you're going to play?
I need to get back to Trails Through Daybreak at some point.
I've been thinking about the Trails games because the sequel's coming, right? The second one, not the sequel, the second one's coming for Trails in the Sky, and I still haven't finished Trails in the Sky. I'm in like the first part of it. Mm-hmm. So I should just jump over to this to the remake, right?
Yeah,
that makes sense, right?
I would.
I don't get the treasure chest texts, but everything else is going to be better.
Better, yeah.
But
you
like,
just read the treasure chest text online.
Well, it's not that important. It's the sort of thing that's only fun like when you have it drip thread throughout the game, I think. What is my plan if I play and finish that? Do I then wait a year for whatever's next? Are they going to do second chapter? Not second chapter. Are they going to do
third?
Yeah, third chapter or whatever it is. And then do I wait for remakes of all the Calvert games?
Crossbell
games, thank you. And then after that it's Cold Steel, and that's fine. And then after that it's Daybreaks.
Hey, I mean we could get a remake of Cold Steel. I mean, you know, it's almost as old as Witcher 3, so.
See,
a PS3 game.
I like the Crossbell series so much that if I were you, I would just play the two that are on either Switch or Xbox or modern consoles.
By the time they catch up, the earlier games would have gotten yet another remake, so never start. Yeah, because when they get done with this remake cycle, like Trails in the Sky, Super Enhanced Edition.
Yeah.
So thanks to our chicken discussion at the beginning of the show, Vaughn ordered Raising Cane's for lunch.
Nice. I wonder if Andy will get chicken today for us. He's on lunch duty. Question. What are you going to play, Josh? More of the Star Wars game.
Yeah, more Star Wars, yeah.
What am I going to play? I'm on a work trip, so stuff that works on a Steam Deck.
Hmm.
Project Oregon works on a Steam Deck, so some of that, obviously. Uh-oh. I'm still addicted. But do I jump into like some PoE on the Steam Deck just to fill some time, and the season's not done yet, even though it's stale, but like it's new to me? Do I instead jump into a bunch of other old Steam games I have? Or is there something new that caught my... No, there's not. The Star Wars game is the most likely one, and I don't think I want to play that on my Steam. I don't know if it'll work on my Steam Deck, but even if it does...
Playing the Diablo 2 Warlock DLC is pretty fun on Steam Deck.
Oh.
I bought that a while back.
That's such a good answer, Kelly. I like it. I haven't played the Diablo 4 expansion either.
Neither have I.
I haven't played the World of Warcraft expansion.
Neither have I.
One of those I'm actually interested in.
Diablo?
Yeah. Because it's got the dude. It's got Loreth. Talking.
Oh yeah.
I don't care about the I don't even just read say lines. Thank you. Okay. I guess we'll call it here. Thanks everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. I will encourage you to write in, leave a comment under the show or on our YouTube or the socials, and you can tell me what's your favorite Gamescom announcement. Or go off on something you don't like that was in Gamescom. That's fine, too. Like, what happened? What'd you see? Tell us your reactions. We'll read them right here on the show next week. Until next week, I want to say thank you to Josh and Kelly for joining me. I'd like to say thank you for the chat room for being here. And I would like to tell you all to keep following us on twitch.tv/RPGamer. We're awesome people like Hairfrog, who's in our chat right now. We'll play games for you to watch. Maybe he'll play some of those frog RPGs eventually. I know Extra Life's a good time for frog games, but an actual frog RPG? I hope he does that for real. Yeah. Our schedule is always changing, so just stay tuned to the channel. Follow us so you can see when we go live and enjoy some RPG stuff. Also, the website is better. It's, if you haven't come in a while, it looks the same, but it's breaking less, so that's nice. So if you ever got frustrated with the garbled text that sometimes would show up on the sidebars, that's better. So, yeah. Anything else I should say? I think that's it.
Sounds about right.
I need to look into some coding projects for the site at some point, but I don't think I have anything that's exciting. It would all be stuff that just makes my life better or reduces cost. So once all that's done, then I can look at like actual moving forward improvements. That would be nice. Okay, cool. And let us know of things you want to see better about the site or the show. That's also always valid for feedback. We'd love to go over it here because this is the general podcast. So give us the general feedback. Not lieutenant feedback, not colonel feedback. I want general feedback. Okay, we're done, aren't we? All right, thanks everybody. We'll see you next week. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, right here on Twisted.tv/RPGamer. Till then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.